2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Trying to preach a short message here this morning. I better shut up. Every time I say that, it always end up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Y'all know the Apostle Paul is one of my favorite heroes of the faith. I think he's one of the greatest Christians ever lived besides Jesus Christ. I want some what the Apostle Paul had. Amen. I want some of that. Yeah. You know, you look around at some people, you say, man, I want some what they got. I want something. And the Bible talks about the Apostle Paul when it wrote down. The Apostle Paul didn't want nobody to feel sorry for him. He didn't want nobody to always pat him on the back. You didn't need that. How would you like for the Lord to tell you what you're going to have to face after you got saved and what you're going to have to go through? Most of us, probably all of us, would run from it. We would run from troubles and trials. We think we'd run away from it, but you can't run away as long as you're there. You're always going to be there. And the Apostle Paul, man, he was one of those guys. And I want to say the Apostle Paul was an addict. He was an addict. And all my life I've dealt with addicts. And I was an addict before I was saved. And people can be an addict after they're saved. And you can be, we've dealt with addicts in this church. We've got an addiction program. And all my life I've been around addicts all my life. And, some people, I was the kind of a guy that when I did something, it was almost extreme. It was almost extreme. And after I got saved, I wanted to be extreme. And I wanted to be more in a militant type thing when it comes to serving Jesus Christ. I don't want to back down. I don't want this wimpy Christianity you have today. I don't want that.
Yeah, amen.
The wimpy Christianity today, everybody does what they feel like doing whenever they feel like doing it and all that kind of stuff. I don't like that Christianity. I like the Christianity, man, where it makes you feel something. God moves in your life. You want to be a good soldier, and the Bible tells us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And take on the whole armor of God and that you might be able to withstand the evil day. And we got this wimpy Christianity today that they teach on TV, everything ought to go good. Everything ought to be great. You ought to always have money. You ought to always have a new car. You always have everything going great in your life. If it's not, then it's not right. That's not the Christianity of the Bible. That's not Christianity of the Bible. Now, I'm for everything going good. I'm for everything being a blessing. I'm for all that. And I want to enjoy those times when it is good and when it's going through. But as a pastor, you go through, my job is to, when you're going through something, I go through it with you.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
That's my job.
Yeah.
So I go through a lot of stuff, man. And I'm not telling you to feel sorry for me. Yeah, that's my job. The Apostle Paul went through all kinds of things. He said he suffered all these things for the cause of Christ. And the Apostle Paul didn't back away from it. Most Christians, when they suffer any kind of problem, they back away. They don't want to serve God no more. They don't read the Bible no more. They don't want to go to church no more. They don't want to do none of that stuff no more. And they don't want to pray. They don't want to sing. And they back away from it. As the militant type Christianity, we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to stand up when our comrades are falling down beside us. And we're supposed to go on. I've got a lot of brethren that I've known that fell since I've been saved, since I've been trying to serve God. And they've gone back. And they've turned their back on the Lord. And they've walked the other way. And I want to encourage everybody to go on for God. I mean, I saw that movie Patriot. I think it was Patriot, where Mel Gibson, the whole crowd, they were running from the British, and he grabbed the flag and started running towards them. And that's what a Christian ought to be doing. We ought to grab the flag and run towards the enemy, amen, and towards things. And I could still see what's his name up here? Man, somebody tell me, sang the song that night it blew up in here. Earl Hughes would always say this, give yourself to suffering. And that's strange for most Christians to hear. Give yourself to suffering. And a lot of times if you give yourself to it, you don't suffer as bad or go through anything. But the Apostle Paul, he's writing this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And like I said, he was an addict. He was definitely an addict. And like I said, I'm going to show you something about an addict here in a minute. And We got people that are addicts about drugs, got addicts about drinking. We got people that's addicts about cars, addicts about work. They're addicts about all kinds of other things, but they're not addicts about the right thing. You can be an addict, but you can be an addict about the right thing. Now, this comparison I'm going to give you here in a little bit is not all to be true, but it's comparison of it. But Paul said this. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, he said, "We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And y'all know Paul wrote this down. He said, man, we got a house waiting on us, man. We got a place that's paid for that we'll never have to pay rent on, never lose the, never have to sell it, never have to worry about paying the electric bill or anything else. We got a house, man, that's going to be eternal in the heavens that is already paid for, Jesus Christ paid for it. And I'm looking forward occupation. I'm looking to go in and occupy that home. And he says, "For in this we groan." He's writing this to the church and to Christians. "In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." I'm talking about the brand new house. I mean the body and the home that we got waiting on. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house of many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And the Lord's prepared. He gives you the desires of your heart. He knows what man needs. He knows exactly what you need. And the Bible tells us in Philippians, he said, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." I mean, the Lord's given us what we want, what we need. And he says, "All right, all I want you to do is serve me. Honor me, honor me." And we always want to, you know, we want to honor our parents. We want to honor our children. We want to honor our church. We want to honor our Savior. And what God wants you to do is honor him and give him honor and praise. He said, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." Now, there's something there in that chapter talking about me not being found naked. It's almost indicating what you do here for Jesus Christ is what's going to clothe you. What you're doing for him is going to clothe you at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what it's indicating. He says, "If we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing as God, who hath have given us the earnestness of the Spirit." And it says, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, that we're absent from the Lord." For he says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." While we're here in this body, we're absent from him. We're talking about the physical sense. It says, "We are confident," I say, willing rather, "to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." He says that, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of things done in his body according to have done, whether it be good or bad." And Paul's writing this, and he's saying, y'all know my life. You know where it was. You know what I've gone through. Take your Bible, look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and look what Paul talks about. And you talk about an addict. I mean, this guy was unstoppable. This guy kept on serving God no matter what happened, no matter what went down. He kept serving God. Now, take your Bible, look in. Oh, I said 1 Corinthians 11. Let's go to, let me go over here. 2 Corinthians, maybe. I just saw it. My mind's running for real. Yes. 2 Corinthians, here it is. 2 Corinthians 11. And he says in verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ?" 2 Corinthians 11, 23. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He was whipped 5 times, 39 times each." He was whipped more than Jesus Christ was. But Jesus Christ was whipped with a cat of nine tails. And Paul was whipped with whip because he wouldn't have been able to survive the cat of nine tails. And he said, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He was whipped for what? What was he whipped for? He was whipped for the cause of Christ. You talking about an addict. This guy was unstoppable. You say, why are you saying this, preacher? I'm saying, man, you can be an addict about Jesus Christ and serving him, and you're not going to face probably this. You're not going to face the things the Apostle Paul went through. I mean, you might face Sunday morning getting up before time you wanted to sleep in, but you got out of bed anyhow, and you came to church, you got your clothes on, and you came in, and you tried to fake a smile when you came in the door and tell everybody how good it is to be here. And that might be some of the suffering you go through. You might go through other suffering, financial, physical. You might go through some other sufferings. You might go through some, but nothing like what the Apostle Paul went through. You ain't going to go through nothing like that. Not as long as America stands the way it is. You're not going to suffer. You might go to another country where I've read about stories about other Christians suffering things, but nobody, I've read this thing, nobody's ever suffered as much as the Apostle Paul when it comes to for the cause of Christ. It says, thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. And he has that through the book of Acts. He said, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen. And you read the book of Acts, the Bible says they about tore him to pieces. They about tore him apart. And then there was 30 men that vowed that they weren't going to eat anything until they killed him. They weren't going to eat. So what happened to him? Did they kill him? No. Those guys either, if they kept their vow, they died from starvation. These 30 men and the centurion soldier heard about it from Paul's nephew, and they took him out of town and by horseback and with 200 soldiers and horsemen and all that, and they took him out of town. Paul's life was always in jeopardy. For what? So you could have the Word of God. His life was in jeopardy so we could read the Word of God and get comfort from the Word of God and knowing what the Bible says is going to come to pass. We got comfort from his words and from the words that God gave Paul to write down. He was a chosen vessel. And Paul was an addict. I mean, Paul, man, he was unstoppable. And I mean, that guy didn't back up for nothing. We got Christians that back up, back up, back up, and they back up and they almost fall off a cliff. I'm telling you, man, what as a soldier is supposed to be going forward all the time. You're supposed to be going forward in your prayer life, in your praise. You're supposed to be going forward when it comes to talking about the grace of God, the goodness of God. You're supposed to be going forward no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what you're facing. I mean, I realize sometimes we're going through troubles. You heard my sister get up here and say, God's been good to me. She just buried her husband in June last year. Just a young man over here, he just buried his mama just the other week. I mean, man, we got people sitting in here going through all kinds of heartaches and troubles. Brother Jack just buried his wife for 53 years. Saved together, raising their kids together. I know my brother Jack's not going to back up. I know he loves the Lord. I know he's going to go on, and he's going to serve God. Why? We got a grand reunion promised us, brother. We're going to see the Lord, and we're going to see our loved ones again. And, man, they got a brand new body. And the Bible, Paul talks about this, and journeying often. And look what he says. In perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among my false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watching often. We heard Carrie talk about, thinking about springtime, about her daddy. They found her daddy out in the backyard sitting on a lawnmower, fell over, died, heart attack. Watching often in hunger and thirst, and fasting often, in cold, nakedness, besides those things that are without. He said, that which cometh upon me daily, and care of all the what? Of all the what? Say it with me. Churches. Say it with me, churches. He says, who is weak? I'm not weak. The Bible says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. He said, I'm not weak. I'm not planning on quitting. I'm not planning on turning back. Thank God he wasn't. Paul was never married. He never enjoyed children. He never enjoyed grandchildren. Those things he knew would hinder him. Now, before the cause of Christ. He was willing to give that up for the cause of Christ. There's some people, folks, that we're going to live with forever that gave up so much so you and I could be able to live for God. And we haven't given up anything. We haven't even started to. I remember Dr. Ruttman one time, we were sitting in the classroom. He said, folks, I can count on one hand the things I've done for Jesus Christ, solely for Jesus Christ and only for him, that I never got rewarded, nobody ever knew about, that he said that nobody ever pat me on the back for. He said, I can count on one hand. I went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. He said, preaching, I get paid for it. He said, I enjoy it. He said, I didn't see people get saved. I get rewarded for it. He said, but things that I've never got paid for, nobody, I never told anybody, never won no recognition for it. He said, I can count on one hand. I went away that night thinking, oh, my God, I'm in trouble. Whew. I said, Lord, I got to do something for you. I want to do something for you that I don't want nobody know about what I've done so I can have a reward. I want to be able to please you. And, folks, Paul writes down here, he says, He says, who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended? I burn not. You know what? People get offended in church. He said, man, you'd be sitting in church, and the ones that's going to hurt you the most is going to be somebody else that you trust and love, and maybe another Christian. We've had it happen many times in this church. And then people, both families leave. And I didn't do nothing wrong. But they both leave. They've been offended. And they don't go nowhere. I've had people say, there's no church like Faith Baptist Church. I can't find a church. I said, come on, man. You get off of that stuff. There's other churches around that still preach the word of God. But they were looking for an excuse to get out. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be looking for an excuse to get in further. Amen.
Amen.
That's what an addict does. An addict looks forward to get in closer, further. Go a little further. You hear about these addicts, man. And like I said, I've dealt with addicts all my life since I've been saved, even before I was saved. My father had addicts living in the house. And I've dealt with them, drunkards and all that stuff. And that's been my life, in a sense. And I want to help people. And I thank God for the good people that I don't have to worry about. I mean, the ones I worry about is the ones that, you know, they call me up and they've been out on a binge, or they're out drinking, or they're out carrying on, acting like fools, especially saved people. That's the ones I worry about. Thank God for the clean ones that's trying to do right. I ain't got to worry about them. Thank God for them. The Lord ain't got to worry about him. He knows they're going to do the right thing. He says, who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended? I burn not. He said, if I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. He said, I'm going to glory in the things that I've gone through for Jesus Christ. You read what Paul told in Acts chapter 27. He said, man, this ship's going to suffer loss. He said, unless they abide in the ship, he said, they're all going to die. They listened to him. Finally, the centurion said, man, this guy knows what he's talking about. I'm going to listen to him. And he stays in the ship. The ship shipwrecks. They all survive on the island of Melita. And then Paul goes up. And, man, he's helping get a fire going, because the Bible says the heathen people built the fire for him because they could see him out there in the water. And it was cold wintertime. They're swimming towards the shore. And they built it. And Paul goes up, and he's helping to try to keep the soldiers warm. He's helping, trying to help them out. And he grabs a bunch of sticks and throws in the fire. And the Bible says a serpent comes out and bites him. You know what Paul did? He shook it off. He just went, man, he shook it off. The Bible says that the heathen thought, man, this guy escaped the water. He must be a murderer. He must be something bad going on in his life. He escaped that, but God seen to it that he's going to get his just reward. And after a while, after he shook it off, they sat there and watched him. They said, he's not dead. That was a one-stepper, man. That was a serpent that we know will kill a man. And they said, man, this guy must be a god. And they started worshiping him. And Paul turned around and preached to him. And that man, the whole island heard about it. What a thing. The Apostle Paul was a chosen vessel. Let me tell you this. You're a chosen vessel. God shows you. He has a purpose for your life. He wants you to serve him. He didn't save you to do nothing. He didn't save you to live your life the way you used to live it. He didn't save you for you to go on back to the same hog pen he drug you out of. He didn't save you for that reason. He saved you for his glory.
Amen.
Your job in this life is to give him glory.
Amen.
People like to go back to the same old hog pen thinking, okay, I'm going to take Jesus back with me. And he likes to hang around the hog pen. No, he doesn't. Look back in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 20. Or 30. He said, I must need our glory in the things which I have concerning my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever more, knoweth that I lie not. And so he goes on, and the Bible he tells about his troubles and trials. And he says, I was called up to the third heaven, chapter 12. I knew a man in Christ above, verse 2. I knew a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one called up to the third heaven. I mean, Paul was dead. He was stoned to death, and he was raised, and God raised him back up. And he said, I knew a man in the third heaven, and God told me what things that I should do. And he said, look down at verse 3. He said, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words was not lawful for a man to utter. I want to know what those words were. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, and now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should give, be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should exalt above measure. God allow things in your life to keep you low, to keep you humble. He allows those things in your life. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at this. He says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Like I said, if you ought to have a hero. One of my heroes is the Apostle Paul. What a great man. And what a great man. He said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. God gave Paul that revelation of the Word of God that we're going to have a judgment seat of Christ, which is on this board. The judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have to stand before God as Christians at what we've done for the Jesus Christ as we've been saved. He says, knowing therefore, verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, yet but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, and whether we be sober, it is for your cause. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. You know, Paul said, man, what motivates me? I'm an addict. I'm an addict for his love. I'm an addict for his mercy. I'm an addict for his grace. I'm an addict for his kindness and his goodness. I'm an addict for those things. And I want everybody to be a part of that. You know what addicts do? You know how they get people to be addicts? They'll give them, a drug dealer will come up to a person and say, hey, man, try this on. Try this a little bit. They'll give it to you free for a while. And they'll give it to you free and give it to you free. And before long, they get you hooked and where you have to have it. And I'm going to take your Bibles now, if you would. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Back up to verse 15 and look at verse 58. And we're addicts for Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you ought to be an addict for him. I mean, I know that if I had people in here this morning, say, stand up right now if you are hooked on something, I guess maybe half the congregation. No, you don't have to. You don't have to. Don't be so eager. But if I had people stand up, maybe half the congregation stand up. And what I said, the drug dealers, what they try to do is try to give somebody something to get them hooked. And then, you say, what are you trying to do this morning? I'm trying to get you hooked. Amen. I'm trying to get you hooked spiritually. In a sense, I'm type of like a drug dealer up here. I'm trying to get you hooked. Now, I said all the types don't work right, but I'm trying to get you hooked. You know what the Apostle Paul did? He tried to get the churches hooked. He said the love of Christ constraineth us. Get you hooked in on the love of God. I mean, Rex Harrison used to sing, oh, love of God, how great afar than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. When he sang that song, man, his tears run down my face. Think about the love of God. Boy, you said, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to get you hooked this morning to love Jesus Christ. And to love him and realize his grace has been good to you. His mercy has been shed towards you. His goodness has been upon your life. If you're still breathing, you're still alive. I always tell people, as long as somebody's still alive and they're still breathing, they got a chance. I'm sick and tired of seeing Christians just waste their lives and waste what God's given them. The Bible says, therefore, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, verse 58, therefore my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. God's watching the thing. Now I want you to look on down. Let's read chapter 16. It says, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given an order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. For the church to succeed, for the church to go on, Christians are supposed to give towards that thing and maybe lay aside for what God's given you during the week, because everything God's given you is God. and we're supposed to give towards the things of God to keep the missionaries on the field, keep the lights burning, pay the bills, all that kind of stuff. And that's what Paul established in the churches. He established that. And an addict usually has no problem trying to pay for what they want. And we're, when it comes to being in love with Jesus Christ, being addicted to him, I want to give my fair share. They always talk about on the news media, I want to give my fair share. I want to give more than my fair share for the cause of Christ. I want to give more. I want to not only give my money, I want to give myself. I want to give everything that the Lord's given me back to him. Everything I have that belongs to him. And look at verse 3. He says, and when I come with whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberty, liberality unto Jerusalem. Talking about money, talking about things, to take it to the saints in Jerusalem. If it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. He's writing this to the Corinthian church. He said, I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. He says, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many what? Say it with me. Many what? We got many adversaries. He said, a great door is open. I'm going to tell you something, church. We've got a great door opened up to us. Yeah. There's no adversaries. But it's our job to keep going.
Yes, sir.
See, the devil he's slick. He'll get you so busy thinking about yourself all the time and about how bad you got it and how hard it is and how you ain't got this and you ain't got that and you ain't doing this and you ain't doing that. He'll get you so mixed up and messed up to keep you self-centered. Well, you don't think about other people. You don't think about the cause of Christ. You don't think about how much the mercy of God is there, how much the grace of God. I remember Jack Hollis used to say this. He said, every time you pass somebody, heaven or hell, heaven or hell, heaven or hell. Now I want to get to the place where I'm trying to get to this place real quick. He said, for a great door of affection was opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worked the work of the Lord as I also do. He said, Timothy, he said, man, he's my son in the faith. And I could go through a whole bunch of things about Timothy. He said, he's my son in the faith. He said, he's working the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but to conduct him forth in peace that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desire him to come unto you with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. He says, watch ye. Here's Christians, what we're supposed to do. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. And quit you like what? So a man don't quit. You go through all the, I've watched documentaries of the men in Vietnam. I've sat there and cried watching men die. Just watching the video from what the government videoed, had a cameraman out there with them. And I was watching all those men, how they died. And in World War II, you see about how they died. And all these men are crying out. They're crying for mama. They're crying for all these things. And he says, and they didn't quit. They're laying in their own blood, and they're still firing. Quit you like men. Christians, man, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your problem is, you're supposed to be a man. A woman. Don't quit. You say, well, so-and-so said something to me, and I didn't appreciate what they said to me, and I care less. As a pastor, I got to deal with that stuff. But that's, what is that? Is that going to cause you to quit? Somebody talked about me? If you haven't been talked about, there's something wrong. I want to check your life out. Somebody's going to talk about you. Somebody's going to make fun of you. People make fun of me all the time. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be what? What's the next word? What?
Strong.
Come on, say what?
Strong.
You know, a lot of times we think we're strong. We think we are. But it's here. He says, let all things be done with what? We've had people, man, they didn't have no charity with nobody. But boy, when things happen in their life, they want charity. They want they want mercy. They want grace. You know why I try to have mercy on people? Because God's had mercy on me. And the Lord says, I'll have mercy on those that have mercy. I'll have grace on them that have grace. I want the Lord to have mercy on me. I want him to have mercy on my children. I want him to have mercy on my my grandkids. But look at this. I want you to get this, get right here. I want to get right here. I beseech you, brethren. I want to meet this guy, Stephanas. Ye know the house of Stephanas. The Lord's, I mean, Paul's, he just points out this one guy, the house of Stephanas. Man, wouldn't that be something if the Apostle Paul or somebody wrote down about your house? I've been to a lot of houses. And I've been blessed at a lot of houses. But I've been in a lot of houses that Christians has been hell on earth. Just hell on earth. It shouldn't be that way.
Amen.
But look at this statement. What a statement. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Like I said, the Apostle Paul was an addict. He was addicted. And my job as a pastor, I'm trying to get you addicted. But I've got to be addicted.
Yeah.
You know, they say most drug dealers, they're not addicted at all. They just try to get their clientele. Like I said, all the comparisons can't be the same. But it says these people were addicted. To what? They were addicted to the ministry of the saints. Boy, wouldn't it be something if he could write down about the Faith Baptist Church? Man, Faith Baptist Church, they are addicted to the ministry of the saints. They are addicted to missionaries around the world. They are addicted to souls being saved. They are addicted to praising God with all their might, with all their strength. One of the first commandments in the Bible is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Wouldn't that be something? And here we are. I know we're living in our last days. I know that. I know we're close. I don't know when the Lord's coming, but I know it's close. I know we're living in the Laodicean period. I know the Bible says they're asleep inside, and you know, they're rich, they have need of nothing. But why couldn't we have a church that's addicted to loving God? That everybody came through the doors, they just wanted to worship him. They just wanted to sing praise to him. The house of Stephanas was written down that these people were addicted. I've been around the country a little bit, but I haven't hardly seen a lot of that. People that are addicted to serving God. Their own desires, their own wants are put on the back burner. Serving God is the most important. Raising their children to love the Lord. I had a guy call me this week and said, preacher, he said this. He said, preacher, will you pray with me? He was on his way back home. He said, will you pray with me? My kids, I got two kids living up here in Delaware. He said, neither one of them want to serve God. Neither one of them want to go to church. He said, I raised them in church. I raised them in a Christian school. I raised them. I put a lot of money out. I said, well, if you did your part, God will do his part. Train up a child the way he should go when he is old and not depart from it. I said, if you did your part, he said, I did my part. I said, you weren't a hypocrite in front of him? He said, no. He said, but I'm afraid I got two other children at home. They're looking at them. I told him this. I said, this kind cometh by prayer and fasting. You want to see God do something? Most Christians, they talk about, I want to see the Lord do something, but you're not willing to addict yourself to the ministry. You say, well, I'm not in the ministry. Oh, yes, you are. Everybody in this room, you're saved, you're in the ministry. You say, well, you're the pastor, you're in the ministry. No, I might be full-time, but I'm full-time whether I was a pastor or not. I ran into a guy last night. He was introducing me to another guy in Lowe's. He says, this is Pastor Ryan from Faith Baptist Church. And he looked at me. I have my old clothes on. He goes around like this all the time. I said, I don't usually go around in a suit unless I have to. I go around my old clothes. Why? I can sneak up on people. They won't know. Incognito. But I'm going to give you a couple of things. We got to close, man. I got to close. The Bible says they were addicted themselves in the ministry of the saints. I know this about an addict. An addict will always will do what it's necessary to get a fix. Am I right? Can y'all say amen to that?
Amen.
Our fix that we get will do what necessary. To get a fix. Money, time, whatever's necessary. There's some Christians that live down in Houston, Texas. The men are retired. I just found this out a while back. The men are all retired. They have a pension coming in. They work a full-time job 6 days a week. So why? They take all that money and they put it right into the ministry. So what kind of ministry? Missionaries. I heard about a guy that was down in South America. He needed a building. He needed a church building. And he says, I found a building. It's $130,000. That church, that one church, took up $100,000, sent it down there to buy a building. What was that from? That was from the people that are addicted.
Yep.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The addict will do whatever is necessary to get a fix. They'll do whatever is necessary. I'm going to tell you something. Nothing joys a man's heart if he's saved and loves God and wants to serve the Lord is to see other people, I mean, dedicate themselves to Jesus Christ. Be an example. Are you an example to your children? Are you an example to your church? Are you an example to your relatives? Are you dedicated? Are you going to do what's necessary? I've had family come to church, come down to see us when we was in Bible school and we was going to church. And Linda's dad came and he came by and he said, I'll come by to see you. And I said, well, we're going to church. I said, you all come, but if you don't, you'd stay here. And we went on to church. But what most folks say is, oh, my relatives came to town. I'm just going to stay home with them. Yep. Now, we didn't look forward to that, man. We went to church.
Yep.
You know what they found out? That we found out that when they came here, they would come on Monday and they'd leave before Wednesday because they knew we were going to church Wednesday night.
Amen.
And then if they would come on Thursday, they would leave on Saturday because they knew we were going to go to church on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Man, you do what's necessary. Tell you something else I know about an addict. Like I said, I grew up around addicts. I've been around addicts all my life. And I've seen what they'll do. An addict always looks forward to the next fix. Always looks forward to it. That Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I mean revival time, an addict, when they really get in, they look forward to it. They're willing to forfeit sleep. They're willing to forfeit a lot of things so they can be in church. Ever since my wife and I've been saved, we've been in with my kids. I never wanted my kids to say, on Wednesday night, are we going to church? I never wanted my kids to ever say that. My brother John and Miss Holly, the same way. I never wanted my kids to say, are we going to go to church tonight? They knew we was going to go to church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? I'm an addict.
Yeah.
I'm an addict. Yeah. An addict will go look forward to the next fix. I don't care who's preaching. Do you know what people say? Oh, if you're going out of town, who's preaching? Who cares who's preaching?
That's right.
Who cares who's doing it? I mean, we'd be in the church.
Amen.
We're not doing it for them anyway.
Amen.
We're for him.
Amen.
The eyes of the Lord are watching. This household of Stephanus, they addicted themselves. Man, I would like to see that. Addiction. With it, the addiction. See, this day when we hear about addiction, it's always bad.
Yep.
It's always somebody messing up and ruining their lives and dying.
Yep.
You know how many addicts, funerals I've preached? They're dying because of their abuse that whatever they're out in the world looking for.
Amen.
They abuse it. But I'll tell you what, you can't abuse serving God. You can't abuse being an addict about the love of God.
Amen.
You can't abuse being an addict about the goodness of God. You can't abuse that when it comes to being addicted to him. Why? Because it's right. It's holy. It's good. What the Lord had, Uncle Billy got saved. Uncle Billy used to go down. He hung around the pool hall, Comer Manor pool hall. And I forget the name of the pool hall, but Billy used to deal drugs right there in the front of the pool hall. And he had a big old army jacket on. What do you call them?
Trench coat
type jacket. But he had that thing full of drugs. And Billy would, people would pull up in front of that pool hall, and Billy would say, here you go, man. You've seen drug dealers do. I mean, you know, here you go. And they pull up, and then they drive off, and they give him 20 bucks or whatever it was, and he put it in his pocket, and he'd wait for the next sale to come down. He'd be walking down the street, and all of a sudden somebody pull up beside him, he'd just boom, and give him something. And Billy got saved, and man, I went in that pool hall one night and got Billy to go to church, and he got saved. And when Billy got saved, and he told me, he said, Alan, he said, I'm going to get rid of the drugs. He said, you got tracks? So all the drug dealers, I mean, all the drug addicts knew him. He was their dealer, man. He was their supplier. And Billy was said, he got out there in front of that store, I mean, right in front of the pool hall, the next week after he got saved, got on fire for God. And he said, man, he's standing out there and people pull up. And he goes, hey, man, I got something that's free. It's free. Here, here. You know what? Salvation is free. You know that? Gospel tracts are free. All that stuff free. He said, hey, man, I got something. I got some good stuff, man. It's free. Here, take it. And he said, don't. Cup your hand, cup your hand. And he stick it, and the guy put it in his hand, goes, thank you, man. Man, thank you, man. Thank you. And they drive off, and he said, and all of a sudden, he see the headlights, and the brake lights come on. And they go, hey, what is this? What is this? He says, something better than drugs. You know what happened to Billy? He got addicted. He got addicted to the right thing. I mean, an addict's always looking forward to the next fix. An addict will always keep his supplier in close fellowship.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Boy, he's got his supplier's phone number. He's got it on speed dial.
Yeah.
And he wants to know where the supplier is at all times. I'm going to tell you something. I know where my supplier is.
Amen.
And he's also in here.
That's right.
Yes, boy, an addict, when he gets, he gets wanting something, he calls up that supplier and says, come on, man, I need a fix. Mm-hmm. Every morning, me and my wife sit down, we read our Bible, we get our fix right then. I mean, our supplier, he's always there supplying the fellowship, the close fellowship, and we can commune with him.
Amen.
And it's all clean.
Amen.
And it's holy. After I got saved, man, my supplier changed. My wants changed. My necessity changed. All those things started changing in my life. And I wanted to be an addict. If I said this, if I was going to serve the devil like I did, and so did some of y'all, you ought to serve God that much more. Why? Could you slip up your hand this morning and say, yeah, I know God's good.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I know he's been good to me. He says, the household of Stephanus, what a thing to write. Paul writes it down and says, man, this household of Stephanus, y'all know him. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus. Could that be said about you? Could that be said about Faith Baptist Church? We know the household of Stephanus. They're addicted. Most people are addicted to so many other things. Making money. All the other supplies that doesn't satisfy. The supplier I have, he supplies and he satisfies.
Amen.
One day, my supplier is going to pay my transportation out of here. And I'm heading out of here. And my supplier is going to give me a brand new body. He's already built me a new home. You couldn't say that about any supplier on the street. Matter of fact, they'll take your house. You don't pay them? Buddy Cargill, great preacher, friend of mine. I love him. He died at 49 years old. His wife, she kept on serving God. His children all went bad. I couldn't figure out why. Buddy's father-in-law passed away. He was the vice president of Miller & Long. If you go around Washington, D.C., you see all the big cranes. Miller & Long, he was vice president. That guy was a multimillionaire. And Gary Cargill, that was her name. She was going to move up here and bring her grandchildren up here. I wish she would have. But she bought a house over in Southern Maryland. She bought a $500,000 house over there. Her father left her millions. Her grandchildren got out and got on drugs. They were saved. Steve Myers just reminded me about one of the grandsons the other day. He said, you know, he's down in San Antonio. Gary Cargill called me up crying. She said, "Preacher, Brother Allen, my grandkids all hooked on drugs." She said, "I just had to give $200,000 to one of the drug dealers to spare my grandson's life." She died of a broken heart. Her kids were all strung out on drugs. She had one daughter living with her, and she was on drugs. And that one girl didn't call nobody. When her mother died and laid in the bed, she didn't call nobody. She took her diamond rings off her hand. She went through the house searching for all the money or any kind of money she could find, any valuables, and allowed her mother to stay in that bed dead. Never called nobody. Went down to the pawn shop, pawned that stuff, and then came back. Then called. Wow. So there's some things when addictions out in the world would take you so far you never thought you'd go. But I'm going to tell you something. Being addicted to Jesus Christ and God and serving him, he'll always take you the right way. Yes. Always help you. Always supply for you what you have need of in the right thing. I say it's high time. Get addicted to him. You're saved. You're in the ministry. Y'all know the household of Stephanus. They were addicted. We get so addicted to so many things. People are addicted to TV shows. The Living Dead or The Walking Dead. They're addicted to so many things. But we don't have time for God. The one that supplied you salvation so you wouldn't have to go to hell. Father, thank you again this morning for your mercy. My Father, I pray, God, you move in our midst, Lord. I pray, God, help us, Lord, to be addicted like the household of Stephanus to the ministry of the saints. And God, the Bible says over in the book of Acts, no man saw the things that he had was his own, but they were yours. Barnabas sold property and gave it to you. He said it wasn't his anyway. And we're not trying to get money out of people. We're not trying to get people to God. We're not trying to get people to give money to the church or anything like that, Lord. We just want to give them to give their hearts to you and be addicted to the love of God. Be addicted to the ministry, to help people, to see people come to know Jesus Christ. Get their minds off themselves and get their minds on serving you. God, you paid a great price. Your son paid the ultimate price so men wouldn't have to die and go to hell. Lord, you paid a price so I wouldn't have to go to hell. You allowed me to hear. You allowed me to be around people that had my best interests at heart. And they helped me to get closer to you. I wouldn't be here without them. I wouldn't have been here without somebody that was addicted to serving you. Oh, my Father, I pray, God, help Faith Baptist Church this morning. God, be known to be addicted to loving this book, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, worshiping, praising, giving you honor, glory, praise. My Father, I pray you just meet with each and every one of my brothers and sisters this morning. I know the analogy of God is not perfect when it comes to this world's addictions. But Lord, we can be addicted to you. The Apostle Paul was. He had you first. You said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And all the things that we worry about, all the things that we're concerned about, will be supplied. You are the supplier. We love you this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. How many in this room could say, "Preacher, I know without a doubt this morning